Every Woman is a womanist show about women making a difference in the men by their side. As 50% of the world's population and 52% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in social, political, economic, and environmental arenas. The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests, and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI board, staff, volunteers, or sponsors of KKFI and the Midcoast Radio Project, Incorporated. And this is Amy Bell, and I'm very happy to say I'm here with Sharon Lockhart.
Well, I'm happy to be back home and see my little animals and my cat and two little puppy dogs. And my friend Mary Mosley is here, whom I traveled to Spain with. We spent, 15 days in Spain. And we tried to get into the culture there, and we did a pretty good job. She's an English professor. She's a Spanish professor at Williamswood University. And so she travels to Spain pretty regularly because it keeps her her language skills up. And quite often I would hear people tell her what good Spanish she spoke, as though they were quite surprised. So we had a pretty good time, Mary.
Yeah, we had a great time. So I'm happy to be here.
And we did get into the culture pretty good. We came upon, we missed one demonstration in Madrid, but we made it to two demonstrations in
Barcelona.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. And amazingly, while we were there, they had a European Parliament election. All of the states of Europe elected representatives. And do you want to kind of tell a little bit about what happened there?
Well, the interesting thing to us was that we'd just been there a few days when we picked up the newspaper, or I picked up the newspaper, and read on the front page that one of the candidates of the Conservative Party had made a terrible sexist comment when he was debating a candidate from the Socialist Party. And the candidate from the Socialist Party was a woman, and so he had said something about how he was intellectually superior to her, and it just was horrible to have to debate a woman, because when you're intellectually superior, it seems like you're cornering the woman who's defenseless. And I thought the defenseless part was the worst part, frankly. But anyway, this was all over the news media for several days, and they were hoping it would hurt the Conservative Party, which has the prime minister now. And it probably did, but the interesting thing was that there are so many third parties. I mean, there are so many minority parties, and the interesting thing was, coming out of this election, that, well, both those candidates won, the man and the woman, the man from the Conservative Party and the woman from the Socialist Party. But the interesting thing was that neither of the two major parties, the Partido Popular, which is the Conservatives, or the Socialist Party, got a majority this time. They got under 50% for the first time since they've been parties. And so that was the big news all over Europe. The rise of the minor parties. And the minor parties,
the two-party system is dead.
That's what the newspaper was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two-party system is over.
And, of course, we have in this country attempts. I guess we have Libertarian. We have the Greens in some states. But we don't have very much, do we? Is that about it?
Well,
that attempt to make it onto the ballot.
Yeah, the Libertarians are on the ballot in Missouri. I don't know anything about Kansas, but the Libertarians are on the ballot in Missouri. The Greens have tried to get on the ballot, and they have. And the Independents, there are some Independents in the occasionally in the state legislature, but as far as having any clout really in the elections, it's really hard for a minority party here to have much clout.
But it is amazing how many seats these nine other minor parties took.
Yes,
out
is.
Of this election.
It is. It's absolutely amazing. The Conservatives got 16 seats. The Liberals got 14 seats. and then the rest of them went to the minor parties. So
so that would be 34 seats went to the minor parties, because there are 54 seats, I think.
Is that right? I'm trying to add them up quickly in my head.
No, 30. I did that backwards. 24 seats went to the minor party.
24, that's right.
Yeah. Which is pretty incredible. So the two main parties have 30 seats and the minor parties have 24 seats.
Yeah.
That's enough to make a difference, I think.
Well, it would seem to be. Now, I don't know very much about the European Parliament. And what was interesting was we tried to talk to a lot of people on the street and taxi drivers and stuff. We talked to a lot of taxi drivers, and we didn't find very many people that were very interested in the elections. The first one that we talked to said, I said, which is more important? They were having a big soccer match.
Oh, the soccer match was more important.
Yeah, and the soccer, I said, which is more important? He said, well, today the soccer match is more important. That was Saturday, and Sunday was the election. He said, tomorrow the election will be important. But he said, it doesn't matter who wins, because everything just goes on the same anyway.
And that's what we said. Oh, yeah, we can relate to that, because that's what it seems like here.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter
lot.
Who you vote for.
Yeah, yeah, we vote for a liberal, and then they go to the legislature or Congress, and then they can't do very much.
And they go to the right.
And they move to the right, you know. They move to the right in this country because the right has so much power that they feel like they have to get reelected. And that once they get elected, their whole objective is to get reelected.
Campaign finance reform.
Good job.
I'm just going to interject with that.
And limit the time to like 2 months instead of 2 years or 4 years. They're running. As soon as they get elected, they start running again.
Oh, the amount of time that they can actually run?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of, we're hearing about it. 2 years ahead of time.
Yeah, they have to, because they have to raise so much money that they have to start fundraising immediately, and if they don't, they won't have enough money to win the next election.
Speaking of fundraising.
That's right. That was a good segue. That was a perfect segue into the fact that this is our spring summer 2014 fund drive. And we would really love to hear from you if you're a casual listener, a committed listener, a frequent listener, a infrequent listener, or you just even happen to turn on the radio and hit this spot. We would love to have you call in and tell us, well, what would we like to tell you an amount that you're willing to pledge to 888-931-0901.
And we do have our spring-summer T-shirt, and it appears to be orange.
That's
it
a good color.
It looks very nice.
That's a color.
For all those T-shirt collectors
color.
Out there.
Yeah,
yeah,
the color
is a
of
nice
orange.
Rebellious color.
Uh-huh.
You know, I, last week, one of the things that this show sometimes even does for me, even when I'm sitting here, is we have a guest on here, and I learned something that I had no previous clue about. And I'm just sitting here in my chair and learning something about current events and the news. And it was last week we were talking about Chelsea Manning, and these guests had things to say about that case that I had never heard before. And I hope some of our listeners had never heard before, too, because that's kind of what I like to think we do for people, is give them those things that they don't hear other places.
Absolutely. I think that's very important, what KKFI does in the public affairs arena for our listeners, is to give them an opportunity to hear things that we're not hearing in the mainstream media. And speaking of Chelsea Manning, today, of course, is the two-day trifecta resista, and they've been to Leavenworth this morning, and sometime later in our show today, Mike Murphy is going to call us, and we're also going to have Kathy Kelly, who is in town for this event. She is a Nobel Peace Prize nominee and co-founder of Voices for Nonviolence. And she will be on the air and be able to talk to us, hopefully, for a little bit sometime later in the show today. They're at the Bannister Mall. Bannister Mall. They're at the Bannister plant that was, vacated, and the parts, the weapons p- parts manufacturing for nuclear
weapons.
The non-nuclear parts factory was moved out to 150th Street in Grandview. And while they are non-nuclear parts, they still work with many, 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 many hazardous materials there, and they just left that place without doing any cleanup on it. I suspect they talked about that last week, didn't they?
Yes, we did talk about that last week.
And so they're going to be out there protesting that today, and I hear that somebody's planning to be arrested out there today. And then tomorrow, they're moving on to Whiteman Air Force Base to protest against the drones, because that's a major site for the drone activity. Young men playing with their joysticks and bombing people in Afghanistan and wherever they choose.
They're not all men.
And some are women. Some are women. That's right. Because
I thought that was a play on words, but I'm just going to...
they're not all men?
No. But the Bannister complex... That one is another one that really gets me. We're not hearing about that.
Right.
And it is so dangerous to us, all these chemicals that are there, and the Blue River being close by, and all of these things that could really have an effect in getting these chemicals into our groundwater and into our bodies. And all of these people have been ill. Many have died, and they're just going to not take care of that, not clean it up, not be responsible for that. They're talking about selling it to a private company so that the government wasn't responsible for cleaning it up, and then the private company wouldn't be subjected to quite as much oversight as the government would, so they can kind of just brush it under the table. And nobody's talking about this. Nobody's letting us know that our communities are about ready to be in some serious danger of some pretty bad stuff.
There was talk about turning it into a community center at one time, wasn't there? Did you hear that? Or did they mention that?
I hardly hear anything about it.
Yeah.
Communities all over the country are in danger. There's a book about the Rocky Flats plant in a weapons plant in Colorado. It's called Full Body Burden. That was by a woman who worked there for a while. And she thoroughly researched the problems with it. And they had two fires, and they don't know how to fight a nuclear fire. And so they very nearly took out the city of Denver with those two fires. It was just luck that they happened to be able to put them out. And they're doing this at nuclear plants all across the country. I mean, it's a disaster.
The hazardous material and the haphazard way. I mean, there is no way to really contain the nuclear waste for any secure amount of time. But we digress from the point that this is the KKFI Spring and Summer Fun Drive, and we are hoping that you are a current listener, a full-time listener, part-time listener, and that you are going to call us and make a pledge to this community radio station, because you appreciate the opinions and views and oftentimes facts, not just opinion and views, but we do have some facts here. We were just citing facts about the election in Spain to the European Parliament, and that's something, of course, we citizens in the United States are so isolated. We are totally unaware of the world around us by and large. I say the majority of us certainly are. And it's really fascinating to hear and see how they do things in other countries. And we do a lot of that with Amy Goodman on the weekday mornings from 8 until 9. We hear a lot of various stories about what's going on in all parts of the world, and she does an excellent job of informing people. And then the 9 to 10, those shows are very informative all week long. I can't think of one of them that I really don't like, or one of them that I like any more than the others. And our own Jaws of Justice, our locally produced program at 9 on Mondays, is an excellent program. So if you appreciate what you hear on KKFI, please call now and make a pledge. That number is 888-931-0901.
And, of course, you can also go to our website to pledge, and that website is www.kkfi.org.
And we have a faithful volunteer in the studio in the next room to take your pledge, to answer the phone, Craig LeBeau, who is active in the Sierra Club and Amnesty International, and he also is one of the hosts of Eco Radio right here on KKFI, also on Monday evenings, I believe it is, at 6 p.m. So call up and talk to Craig at 888-931-0901 with your pledge for KKFI. It's very important to the community that we have this time on the air to be able to share things that are going on. This particular show is called Every Woman, and I'm just amazed at the men who listen to the show. And we'd like to invite those men to call in and pledge on Every Woman right now. That's 888-931-0901. We have a listener in San Francisco that's called in a couple of times, I believe.
Yeah, I think they called in 2 weeks ago even. Kind of startles the guests sometimes that we're actually a coast-to-coast program. But the one thing that I really liked about stories like this Bannister Complex is that we don't have to have an opinion. We don't have to agree on this opinion. But when no one else is telling you that this is something you should have an opinion about at all, how are you going to make a wise decision for yourself if you're not hearing about the information in the first place?
Very true. Which reminds me, something, we've just been in many airports, and we want to warn everybody against the Newark airport, if you can avoid it at all costs. But every airport I've been in recently, this goes back to the KCI, that we must have a new airport, that the terminals at KCI are antiquated, and if it was such a good idea, why aren't they all doing it? Every airport I've been in has at least three terminals, and you have to get off one plane, get on a bus, or get on a tram to go to the next terminal to catch your planes, A, B, and C terminals. It's quite common. So all this talk about if the KCI airport were so marvelous, why aren't other companies or states doing it, or towns? They are doing it. They have been doing it. You can't get into any major airport without having to transfer to another terminal to catch your next flight. So, you know, again, if you aren't outraged about the talk about tearing down the three terminals at KCI and building one larger terminal that would gate 35 planes instead of the, I know there's more than 60, maybe 70 or more planes now that they could.
Well, you know, and even if they are happy about this new terminal, they're still hearing about it from us.
Well, that's true. Well, why would they be happy? Because there's no estimate of what this is going to cost or who it's going to cost. The FFA is not going to pay for this terminal. It will be the taxpayers of the Kansas City area who will be paying for it. And I can guarantee you, because I'm a realist, I think, that whatever they bid for it, it will go over. Maybe as high as 50% over, because that's the way things do. The Bannister that moved out to 150 in Botts Road went way over budget. It's just the way builders do. Sorry, that was my rant for the day. But anyway, that number to call is 888-931-0901. Where only can you hear rants like this on KKFI.
And I'll be writing a check before I leave the studio today, so I want some other people to join me here.
That's
well, then
great.
We'll thank you in advance.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity to give 110%. And if you would like to hear some more about this, we have a little clip to tell you about giving 110% in this pledge drive.
Have you ever heard someone say, "I gave it 110%, and you thought, "That's not true. You can't give more than the full amount of something, and that's 100%. Well, now you can with a little help from some friends of community radio. Hi, I'm Kathy Peters, president of the station's board of directors, with some great news. A group of benefactors has stepped up to the plate with a pledge to add a dime to every dollar you donate during this pledge drive. Your gift, no matter the amount, will be matched with an additional 10%, bringing the donation to, you guessed it, 110%. Please pledge your support so that you can truly say you gave your all, plus a little, and thanks.
And we are back, and that number to call once again is 888-931-0901, or of course you can donate on our website at kkfi.org.
And I got off on a track a minute ago about every woman being a woman's show. But we talk about a lot of different topics.
You know, I was about ready to say that. Aren't women only supposed to be interested in babies and
fashion?
Oh, yeah. Makeup and handbags and shopping. And
Right. That's the typical thing. I've had somebody say, if you're a women's program, why are you talking about war on a women's program? And it's like, you know what?
Well, no woman ever died in war, did they?
Well, they mostly are the collateral damage. Yeah, we are the collateral damage of
women
war.
Women and children are the major victims of every war.
So anyway, that's why we talk about war and nuclear waste and nuclear weapons and poverty and all of the things we talk about, domestic violence.
Because here we know that just because you're a woman shouldn't be a sentence. You're a human being, and women have varied interests, and we will talk about all of them here, and we'd be happy to talk about anything with you if you also contact us, and we'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
And we have a Facebook page that they can even tell us their thoughts, can't they?
Yeah, we do have a Facebook page.
And I believe that is Every Woman KKFI, all together. And that will get you onto our Facebook page, and you can friend us, and you can make comments or leave a comment, post ideas for topics we should discuss or you would like to hear, give us guest ideas, whatever. We'd like to have your feedback. And Mary has a project going on now. Well, many projects. But they're working in Missouri. Project.
Well, yes, we're working in Missouri on a project to put a bust of a famous woman in the Missouri Capitol. In the Capitol building, there's an area called the Hall of Famous Missourians. And 2 years ago, the Speaker of the House is the person that gets to decide whose bust goes in the Hall of Famous Missourians. So 2 years ago, he decided it would be a good political move to put in a bust of Rush Limbaugh, who is a native son of Missouri. And he is famous, I guess. I would call it infamous. And he had just made those nasty remarks about Sandra Fluke, and who's, by the way, running for California State Senate. And so all the feminists got pretty mad at him. But the bust of Rush Limbaugh went in the Hall of Famous Missourians anyway, because the speaker said, well, it didn't say they were going to be popular, it just said they were going to be famous. And the speaker gets to decide. So then the next speaker came along and he said, well, I'm going to let the people vote on who they want to go into the Hall of Famous Missourians. So I rallied the women's groups to vote for a woman, and the woman that we chose was Virginia Minor. And Virginia Minor was chosen as one of the four, although he chose to put three men in addition to Virginia Minor. So now there will be 8 women and 38 men. So it's quite unbalanced. But anyway, I wanted to tell you who Virginia Minor was. She's a very important figure in Missouri. She started the first women's suffrage organization in the country in St. Louis, and she worked all her whole life basically to get women the right to vote, although she died before it happened. And she, when Susan B. Anthony voted, and a lot of people have heard about Susan B. Anthony voting illegally because she was a woman and getting arrested, and there was a movement across the country of women to vote in that election, or to attempt to vote in that election, and then someone was going to take the case and take it to the courts and have the courts decide whether women could vote under the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment, of course, has the Privilege and Immunities Clause that says that citizens have the privileges and immunities of citizenship and the Equal Protection Clause. And so women thought, well, perhaps this will give us the right to vote. And so Virginia Minor was the one that ended up taking that case to the Supreme, all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court decided that no, women could not vote under the 14th Amendment because citizenship, just because you were a citizen, did not mean that you had the right to vote. And this was a horrible decision, and it still stands today, which means that we're still fighting things like poll taxes. And I think poll taxes are probably a thing of the past, but literacy tests and all those things.
Poll taxes, some people would say, are back in full force.
Yes,
with the voter
are.
ID laws.
Yes.
And having people essentially have to go pay for a piece of identification before being able to vote.
Right. Voter ID is the thing that we're fighting now. And, you know, if you can't win fair and square, you try to put obstacles in the way of people who might vote for the other party. And so we're fighting voter ID all over the country. And this court decision was the court decision that sort of opened that up. So the Supreme Court made a bad decision there, and it took us until 1920 for women to actually get the right to vote. So
not in Kansas.
Yes, in some states, in some western states, women had the right to vote in the late 19th century, Wyoming being the first state. And by the way, when I was in Wyoming, this is an aside, but when I was in Wyoming a couple of years ago, I was driving past the capital of Wyoming, and they're very, very proud of the woman that helped get the women the right to vote, and they have a statue of her outside their capital. And if I didn't have jet lag, I would be telling you her name. It escapes me at the moment.
I'm like trying to think, what is the capital of Wyoming?
Cheyenne.
I wanted to say Cheyenne, and then somehow it's Cody, Wyoming came to my mind. Okay.
But anyway, so we're raising money to get this bust of Virginia Minor installed in the Capitol, because although we got enough votes that the speaker said he would put this bust into the Hall of Famous Missourians, nobody said they would fund it. And all the busts are privately funded by outside interest groups that want to get their particular person into the Hall of Famous Missourians. So I'm raising money $10 at a time. I have my 1,000 strong campaign to raise $10,000, $10 at a time. So I'm asking people to send money for that to our treasurer, Joyce Schutz, in Baldwin, Missouri. 528 Oak Ridge Trails Court, Baldwin, Missouri, 63021. So if anybody wants to do that, they can do that.
Well, we need more statues to women. I definitely think that. Weren't we talking about, Amy, you and I talking about women have been around a long time. It's just that they just aren't getting credit for what they've been doing.
Yeah, and we were talking about how many people know about the female master painters of the Italian Renaissance.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Or about the female Baroque composers. I mean, did it all. We've always done it all. We just have had this cultural imperative to push it aside and, you know, well, let's pretend that never happened so that other women don't get these ideas.
Right. I mean, men have been the critics, and they have been the ones that decided that these paintings were no good because they were done by women, or these novels were no good because they were written by women. And that's why, for example, George Sand and some of the other novelists used a man's pen name, because they didn't think they could get published under a woman's name, you know. And now we have the Museum of Women in the Arts that's publicizing women's artistic productions and has wonderful, wonderful exhibits. I happen to be a member of that museum and have been for many years, even though I don't go there very often because it's in Washington, D.C.
Well, yeah, we are better with women in the arts than we were in recognizing that they exist, but with authors especially, there is still a trend that if the book is written by a female, the book jacket cover looks like it is,
oh yeah,
wimpy and just, well, I just even hate to use this word, but it's what they're doing is they want to make it look girly.
Yeah, either girly or a sensationalist.
Yeah. I saw some wonderful blogs where people were redesigning famous books by men with
great.
The book cover that would look better if it was written by a woman, what they would do to that book if it was written by a woman.
Yeah, this is really true. There was a good article in The Nation magazine a year or so ago about this by a woman author who's very well received, but she talked about these covers and the lack of publicity that women get from their publishers. One thing that the Missouri Now National Organization for Women group did was we sponsored an hour of classical music by women on the NPR station in Columbia, and we thought we'd continue to do that whenever we could raise the funds to be able to afford to buy an hour's time.
Now, was that the NPR station or the community?
It was the NPR station.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because
yeah.
You have a community radio station
yes,
in
we
Columbia.
Do. Mm-hmm.
Of which you are a guest on frequently,
yes.
I understand. Yes. What is the host name of that?
Carol Greenspan is one of them. There are several.
Uh-huh.
And I don't recall the others again at the moment. But Carol Greenspan is a friend of mine, and she invites me to come on once or twice a year to her show. It's called Women's Issues, Women's Voices. And, you know, just a plug for the community radio, the reason I listen to it is because I hear things there that I wouldn't hear on even NPR.
Exactly. Yeah, NPR is rather corporate, I think, and sort
well,
of mainstream.
NPR has been under a lot of pressure from the right wing, and so they have made a conscious effort to have more right-wing commentators and to move farther to the right.
It's a tragic state of affairs, and in Kansas City, without KKFI, there would be nowhere for listeners to go to get an alternative viewpoint, an alternative voice on what's going on in the world.
So call in and make your pledge.
That's a good point. 888-931-0901. And we would really like to hear from you now. It's very important that our listeners support KKFI, and we know you enjoy the programming you hear because you call in when we open the phone lines. So we know there are people out there listening to us, and now it's time for you to call in and let us know with your dollars, vote with your dollars for KKFI. That's 888-931-0901. And KKFI is kind of like the weather in Missouri. If you don't like it, wait 30 minutes and it'll change. And that's what I like about KKFI, that it's not all the same old, same old. It changes. It's diversified. It's unpredictable, sort of unpredictable, although the shows have a slot, regular time slots every week, but you don't know what you're going to be hearing about at any given time. So we would like for you to call in now. Craig LeBeau is out in the studio waiting to answer your phone call, 888-931-0901.
We have got Mike on the air. You're on the air with us, Mike.
Hi, folks. I'm out here at the Bannister Complex, and two people just got arrested. I'll let you hear the people singing for a second.
I don't think we can hear anything.
So, Ethan Hughes from the Possibility Alliance in La Plata, Missouri, just got arrested, along with Georgia Walker, who I think may have been a guest on Every Woman before. She's with PeaceWorks. Also, she deals with folks coming out of prison, and so they both crossed the line, trespassed at Bannister Federal Complex. Thank you very much. And one of the officers just handed me a bottle of water, very cold. and it's very hot out here. But so they just crossed the line at the old plant. There are 900 toxins that the government admits to on this plant, and now they're building a new one 9 miles south of here. Listeners to KKFI are no strangers to that. I'm going to hand the phone over to Kathy Kelly. She's with Voices for Creative Nonviolence, She's a Nobel Peace Prize nominee, and she's a diehard activist. She's been witnessing in Afghanistan and Iraq, and just was in South Korea recently, and does so much. So if I can take her away from her singing for a second, I'll hand her the phone. Here's Kathy.
Well, it's wonderful to be here in Kansas City and pick up the inspiration and the dedication of people who know that the buildup of nuclear weapons and the capacity for war equips the United States to take on a role of exceptionalism, which is so false. We're not an exception to the rules. We're not the indispensable nation that, as we amass more and more weapons and set a pace for the rest of the world to develop weaponry, we do make our land exceptionally contagious and hazardous and insecure. So it's a real privilege to be here in Kansas City with all of the people who've gathered, and to notice right now that two people are being processed as criminal. And of course, what's truly criminal is the way in which the land, the environment, has been usurped by our own government, by the people that develop nuclear weapons and say that this is done in the name of security. So we know that there are people that are impoverished who live nearby, and they're the ones who are going to be affected by contaminated water, by the dust as this plant is cleaned up, a probably somewhat impossible task, and also the money that we've poured, the trillions of dollars we've poured into our hideous weapons, is a theft, as Eisenhower said, a theft from those who are hungry, from those who are cold, from those who are underserved in our society. So we are certainly fortunate to have the people who have taken a risk of going to the courts and possibly being punished by the municipal authorities, possibly by the federal authorities, and to know that we all get a chance to follow suit, and we'll be doing so tomorrow at Whiteman Air Force Base as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, are we still there?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. It occurred to me that maybe I should set the stage here that this is part of a weekend called Trifecta Resistance, and this is actually the second one. There was one 2 years ago. So this is very important for KKFI, because within the KKFI listening area, there are three things that are kind of tied to the military-industrial complex that are of national and global importance. So this morning, a bunch of us took a bus out to Fort Leavenworth, where we vigiled outside the military base there for Chelsea Manning, where she's being held sentenced to 35 years for whistleblowing. And you talked about that about her last week. And then there was a little another stop added also in Leavenworth. A couple years ago, some folks crossed the line at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and, you know, embarrassed, you know, the security state. They, you know, an 83-year-old nun, you know, just walked through security, didn't use any stealth or anything, just walked through along with two other people and spray painted, and like in the very the inner sanctum of this nuclear weapons facility. And so they were all sentenced, and one of the guys is a guy named Greg, and I'm not going to even attempt his last name, but he was sentenced to 5 years, and he's in the federal penitentiary. So we took another stop in Leavenworth there. And then, so we'll be here till 4:30. And again, we're at Bannister Road at the federal complex. And then, tomorrow, the folks going out to Whiteman Air Force Base, which is also in our listening area, where drones are being operated out of, so very interesting weekend. And I can't say enough, I can't convey enough on the radio how inspiring these people are. I mean, I'm really filled up. It's amazing you just talked to Kathy Kelly, and that fills me up every time I see her. But there's just so many people here. The guy Ethan Hughes that got arrested earlier, and this Possibility Alliance and an intentional community in northern Missouri. Just great, great, you know, living, you know, totally walking the walk. Mm-hmm. And so you know, it's nice here on KKFI that we can talk the talk, but, and we get to report on the people that really walk the walk. So, I think that's pretty much all I'm going to say for now, unless you have any questions.
No, thank you, Mike. Mike Murphy, our own local, chief operator and activist at KKFI, calling in from a demonstration at the Bannister Complex. Thanks, Mike, for calling in.
And just real quick, folks, this is why you need to support community radio, because we're the only media outlet out here.
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah, who else is there with you? Yeah, exactly, exactly. Thank you, Mike, for calling in. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. 888-931-0901.
You know, not only are we the only people out there covering this Bannister catastrophe, the imminent catastrophe, we are one of the only places that I think that you'll ever hear vigil used as a verb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, shows you how resilient the English language is.
It is amazing, these people that are here who come into town along with the local activists and are willing to be arrested for something that they believe in that is so important to all of us, but they're willing to lay their lives or put their lives on hold because there will be, you know, like the fellow serving 5 years for crossing the line at Oak Ridge. That's a big commitment, and somebody's got to do it. It's got to be done. If it's
and
not,
somebody needs to be there reporting on it happening.
Right,
because
right.
Without Mike being there, those people's arrests would have been not...
Yeah, who would have known?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, without media attention, so much of this stuff that happens just goes unnoticed, and we've had a lot of trouble in the last few years with the big changes that have occurred in the media. We've had a lot of trouble gaining media attention for important issues like this, and so it's really a good thing that community radio is covering this.
Yeah, we talk about it often, that I believe the media is now concentrated in the hands of 5 conglomerates, and unfortunately they all tend to be on the right side, and so the left isn't getting any coverage. I was stunned when Mary picked up a paper in Spain, and the Socialist Party, the liberal was on the front page of a paper, and I said that would never happen in the United States.
Yeah, and the other thing that we noticed was that they used the word xenophobic to talk about the party that won in France. And, you know, we wouldn't hear that about a political party in this country. They would say the conservatives.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and we talk about how we're so isolated and insulated against what's going on in the rest of the world, and we've been filled with this. It's sort of like working for a large corporation, which I have in the past done, and they put blinders on you, and you don't know what's going on in the rest of the industry because you've been sort of, you know, they're filtering the information to you that they want you to see, and so you're missing out on so much of the rest of the world, and that's what's taking place in our media now. Is it's being filtered. What we're getting is,
well, you know, I've heard you say this a few times, something about when you turn the light on,
the cockroaches run.
The cockroaches run. And a lot of what I feel that we are doing here for our community is being the light to shine it on these people. And you can make your own opinions about that information, but we're going to shine that light. And if they turn out to be running cockroaches, well, so
That's
be
great.
It.
That's a good analogy.
And again, this is our spring-summer fun drive. And there is, of course, the T-shirt at the $90 level, the orange T-shirt for a $90 pledge.
Yeah,
let's
hear a little bit about the thank you gift.
Okay.
You use your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express card for your gift of $90 or more when you call our pledge line at 888-931-0901. you will receive an awesome official KKFI t-shirt. For a gift of $150 or more, you can be a guest DJ. You or someone you know can be a radio personality for 1 hour on one of our locally produced music programs. Can't decide? Get them both by giving a gift of $200 or more when you call our pledge line now at 888-931-0901. This is our way of saying thank you. Once again, that number is 888-931-0901. And thanks from 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
And we're back. We're going to talk a little bit about where that phrase, when you turn on the lights, the cockroaches run, came from. One of our co-founders of a group called Citizens for Good Judges, which was founded in about 95 or 96, may have been 96, yes it was, said that when you turn on the lights, the cockroaches run, because we would go into these courts and sit in on these cases, and we were told by just being there that the whole demeanor of the court, of the attorneys, of the judge, it was all changed. Well, I sat in on many of those court watch cases and was somewhat appalled by what I saw, because I didn't think it was all that friendly and nice. But according to the women who we were there on their behest, they said it was a totally different environment because we were there and we were watching. It makes all the difference in the world if you're watching in these courtrooms. And so we did this largely because the National Organization for Women was getting all of these people calling us because they were losing their children in the court system to husbands that had more money to bring in the attorneys and fight for them, and the women were being charged as bad mothers, and it was very bizarre how much of this went on. And typically you would find that the person with the most money would win, and I think that's still kind of the way it is. Didn't O.J. Simpson get off not so many years ago because he had more money than the other people had to fight the case? So Kansas now is reinstating a court watch program, and we're going to be down, I believe, in Pittsburgh, Kansas, watching a case. What we have typically, and Amy can tell more about it, is mothers who are being charged, who charge their husbands with domestic violence, and then the child is taken away from the home or from the mother because she charged the husband with domestic violence. And that's the same thing that was happening back in the 90s in Missouri and Kansas, when a woman would say that the father had abused the children. It was called, what they call that, Mary? They called it false memory. Or,
parental alienation syndrome.
Yes,
I think
you.
That was the thing.
That was,
and that's
it.
Yeah, that's been pretty much debunked. We just had an email in Missouri now, just had an email from a woman that this has just happened to, and she wants to know what she should do, or from her mother. And so it's still going on. And what we really need is people to help with these kinds of things. And so in order to help, you don't have to be a member of the National Organization for Women, but we sure would like to get more members, because right now we're in a period where people think, well, we've won a lot of victories and women have equality, and I'm here to tell you that, you know, we still have a ways to go. Let's just put it that way. And particularly it's shown in these cases of abusive spouses, where they then try to get custody of the children. I mean, this happened in my own family. A spouse got custody and then ended up abusing the children. And so it's very important for us to have this kind of input into the courts. And so if you would like to join the National Organization for Women, I'm sure making a lot of pleas here today, aren't I? If you'd like to join, just go to our website at ow.org. and find the membership form there and send in your money. And the nice thing about this organization is that you can send whatever amount you feel you can afford. We have an amount of $40, but you don't have to give that much if you don't feel like you can afford it. If you feel like you can give more, then you can give more. So we have a sliding scale for membership, and we really appreciate everybody joining, and we really need help with these Court Watch programs. The National Organization for Women is an activist group, and the women that join, and men, we have many men that are members, we do the actions. And so we don't, you know, hire an executive director to do things. It's a participatory organization.
Grassroots.
As
it be called. Yes.
Grassroots.
And we were talking about the Court Watch program and how what a difference it makes for someone to be in the courtroom watching these cases. Unfortunately, there's a rule that you can't be in courtrooms if minor children are involved, and that is most unfortunate because there's a lot of abuse that goes on in those cases with minor children.
They don't have rights at all.
Yeah. No, they don't, and that's one of the last frontiers I think that we need to work on is the rights of children. I'm quite a radical on that issue.
If a child winds up in any sort of judicial hearing at all, it basically comes down to the guardian ad litem most of the time. Mm-hmm. One person, not even a judge.
Yeah. I have very strong feelings about what I've seen in the judicial system and the legal system, and it's not really pretty. It's so important that people be there watching what's going on in all court cases, not just domestic violence and divorce cases, and oh my gosh, the abuse in divorces.
Yeah, and you know, the women who have been in court, the women that have had injustices perpetrated in the courts, tell us what a difference it makes for Court Watch people to be there, and they're very, very grateful that there are other women and men who will be there to watch and to help them out in court. Just to sit there, you know, wearing your button that says now, just to sit there, and they know they can look back there and see people that are supportive of them, and that just makes a tremendous difference.
And it just takes a little bit of training. It's not difficult at all. Just have to pay a lot of attention when you go into the courtroom. But we really would value anyone who would be willing to volunteer for that. And again, they could go to Every Woman KKFI Facebook page and volunteer there. Would that work, Amy?
Yeah, that would absolutely work. They could also email coordinator@ksnow.org.
Okay, coordinator at
ksnow.org.
That would be great. And again, this is the Spring Fall Fund Drive, and we bring this to you about 3 times a year, and this is how we raise the majority of the money to keep KKFI on the air. And of course, I'm a public affairs fanatic, so this is the part of the programming that's important to me is the public affairs. But for a lot of people, it's the blues and jazz and the music, lots of different world music, reggae, eclectic, just variation, Americana. I don't even know all the kinds of music that are out there. What's that what music you like, Amy?
Psychedelic music.
Amy likes that.
Yeah.
That's probably not my style, but there's a program on Retro Red Eye. I believe is the name of the show. Sunshine does that.
That one's kind of new wave.
Oh, new wave. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. New wave.
Well,
okay.
I also like that. I know we know of people that listen to that.
Okay. All right. Well, see, I don't know.
But as cool as that is, public affairs is where it's at.
Yeah.
Well, and that reminds me that of all of the people we talked to in Spain, we did not find one single person who voted. And
no,
I
that was interesting, wasn't it?
We cannot tell you how important it is to vote.
We talked to a lot of cab drivers, and we never found one yet that voted. And that was really interesting to us. So the voter turnout, I must say, has gone way down in Spain, too. It's down to 43%. It's more like our voter turnout.
Yeah. So the apathy.
Quite interesting, because we thought that, well, it always has been higher in Europe than it has been here, but now it's it's coming down there too.
Yeah, so voter apathy is everywhere, and I, you know, I have a friend who says, oh, if we just all quit voting, and no, that will not work. We can't quit voting. We have got to vote.
Oh, yeah, we haven't got anybody's attention that way yet. Yeah, voting is important, but here's the thing. I always say, you know, if God had meant us to vote, she'd have given us candidates. We have to get involved before it's time to go vote. We have to get involved finding good candidates to run and encouraging women, more women to run. We need more women in state legislatures. We need more women in Congress. Congress is 17% women. That's just awful.
We need more women like Donna Wolf.
We need
who's coming up.
Yay, Donna Wolf.
With Urban Connections. And we're going to have to sign off and let her get ready. But thank you, Mary, for being on the show and sharing. Just so happy that you're back.
Thanks for having me
on.
Thank
you.